Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Zoo Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday it was Wow Wednesday, and we started off with having our girl Vivian back to do her socially conscious segment, and we started off with them COVID numbers. Every single state in the top five, with the exception of Illinois, had an increase. Yes. Well, part of the reason might have been because we just came off of, spring break. That's right, spring break. So, you know, maybe, just maybe we'll see those numbers come down a little bit. Well, she also talked about the recall on 60 tons. I repeat, 60 tons of ground beef. Now, the only thing we were able to find out was that the brand was Lakeside. Now, that's ground beef, like you would make for, like, spaghetti, or ground beef patties. So be careful, because that's all the information we got. We don't know what state. We don't know what store. But just make sure you know, before you eat that good old hamburger, you make sure you look and see that there is no Lakeside name on the label, okay? All right. We also talked about the legalizing of weed in the restaurant business. Now, let's make sure you understand what we're talking about. That means that you could possibly go into your favorite restaurant and see some edibles on their menu. Yes. Now, this is not like tomorrow or next week. However, they are aiming to get this done. And yesterday, we talked about all of the mess that we could possibly run into. Yes, and I say we, because we as consumers, you know, may end up getting something we're not aiming for either, because from our source, the restaurant source, you know, on the inside, you know, we got our inside tip from the restaurant business. Yeah, they're not as efficient as they appear to be. Yes, a lot of things go on from the servers to the back of the house, they call it, where you got the cooks. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know how great of an idea this is, but don't be surprised. Don't be surprised in anything that takes place. All right. So, you know, there's a lot of business going on with this legalizing of this weed. Every time we turn around, there's another addition to, you know, what they want to do with this weed or what they can do with the weed. We've already talked about the weed being in the on the menu of the wedding reception, and the poor little attendees didn't even know. And we talked about that too, you know, how you can possibly open up a can of worms for somebody who might be trying to get rid of an addiction. And you don't know how this affects them. So that's why I say, you know, we don't know whether, you know, we may come across something by mistake or not. You know, sometimes, you know, there are people in the restaurant, you know, customers go in and they order one thing and they think it's this, and then when they realize it's something else. So, you know, just start keeping your eyes and your ears open for every possibility. Okay? All right. Well, the ladies were in the house yesterday. Yes, our women of worship. And we got to talking about the how we can overcome strongholds. And we talked about the stronghold of anger. You know, be angry, but sin not is not that simple for some people. And yes, even those of us who are walking in the Lord, we want to make sure that we keep that under control. You know, people can really send you into a, you know, into a tizzy, and you can really end up getting a lot angrier than you anticipate. Well, you need to get down to the reason why you're so angry. Yes, there is a reason. They don't just bust off at people. Trust me. You don't just go off on people for no reason. There are other things that are simmering. So you want to make sure that you keep that, you know, be mindful and keep that under control. What about the stronghold of comparison? Now, a lot of us suffer from this stronghold. You know, I'm not as pretty. I'm not as thin. I'm not as talented. You know, I don't get this. I don't have that. You know, I don't look this way. I don't feel that way. You know, if I had a this, I would be better if I had a that, or if I didn't have a this. Yes, that one right there, I think might be the worst one of them all, because, you know, that slides in when you're not even thinking about it. You know, you could think about getting angry and, you know, you could think about being prideful or that comparison, because the world is showing us all of these different things. A lot of times we think we're substandard to a lot of other people and a lot of things, you know, because we just weren't born that way, or, you know, we didn't have the luck of the draw, you know, in this area. And I really believe that that's one of the larger strongholds that we are really trying to get out of. So you really want to pay attention to that one, okay? Now, I know I said that the one of the biggest ones, but I do believe that's a little bigger than the stronghold of unforgiveness and bitterness, because you still can control that. You still can control that. You still did that, something that you could think about, you know. And a lot of times, you know, that unforgiveness will turn to bitterness in many different areas. Yes. You didn't know that? Oh, yes. Yes, yes. You know, you don't just become angry and, you know, get to the level of unforgiveness with somebody, and then it doesn't turn to bitterness for something that's completely unrelated. Have you ever noticed that? You ever talk to somebody, and then they're telling you about how they're bitter against something? You're like, well, how'd you get there? And they're like, the trail of how, you're like, that is so unrelated. Yeah, because things kind of get meshed together, and, you know, you don't know that comparison might be the key. So you want to make sure you keep these things under wraps. Pay attention to your life and how things are filtering one and another. Yes, everything doesn't stay compartmentalized as they should. And I think that's what really gets us into a lot of trouble. Okay, all righty. So we ended off our morning with a bit of faith over fear. And our Pastor Sharon really went into the stronghold and how fear and faith and fear kind of cross. So we really got our fill to take our morning out. Okay? All right. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yeah. And we get to talk about every aspect of our health, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, financial. Yeah, this thing is big when it comes to our health. A whole lot of areas get touched on. And we don't know what we're going to be talking about today, because I got some stories. And you know how sometimes that kind of filters into one another. And you know how the Due Time Crew do. Yeah, I'm going to say it like that. You know how the Due Time Crew do. Alrighty, so let's get ourselves together. I know it's the end of the week almost, and this is one of the hardest parts of the week. So I'm so happy to be here with you, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to take a little break. So go get that healthy breakfast. Go let somebody know that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And, make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Sarcoidosis. Seek answers. Inspire results.
I kept having shortness of breath when there was no real cause.
My eyes started giving me problems, including light sensitivity, teariness, redness, and sometimes blurred vision.
I had chest pains, and then I had a rash on my body. Then my eyes got red and my vision got blurry. Sometimes I ran a fever and I was tired all the time.
It took 3 doctors and 4 different diagnoses before we finally figured out that this weird conglomeration of lung, skin, and eye symptoms I've been having was, in fact, sarcoidosis.
To learn more about sarcoidosis and get a simple guide to the 5 questions you should ask your doctor if you think you may have the disease, visit our website at chestnet.org/sarcoid.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, we are facing our health today, whether it's mental health, emotional health, physical health, spiritual health, financial health. Come on, you can come up with another health. I'm game. But we're at the end of the week almost, and we're giving God thanks because we're on the other side of the week. He's gotten us over that hump day, and he's done it very graciously. We have nothing to really complain about in the grand scheme of things. You know, he did wake us up today, and he gave us another opportunity to get it right. All those things that you do wrong, you know, he gave you another 2 hours of his due time with Pastor Steph. And, you know, you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot. So just, you know, get those listening ears and put them on and get that inside voice and put that on, because you don't want to out-talk us or over-talk us or be louder than we are, and that way you get to missing all of the little tools that, you know, we we have for you. So, you know, we have some stuff that we want to talk about today. So let's get to talking. Alrighty. So, get your pens out. Get your pens out. Okay? Alrighty. We're talking this morning about some surprising home hazards and how to avoid them. Okay? Alrighty. Well, one of the first things are reclining chairs. Yeah. They say that adults 65 and older are more likely to be injured falling out of recliners than those who are between 25 and 64 years of age. Yeah. They say, you know, if you don't sit properly or if you recline in a certain way, yeah, they say that a lot of people get hurt in recliners. Now, we're talking about the older kind. You know, you don't really, now they have a lot of the powered ones where, you know, you kind of press the button and you slowly recline. You know, we're not talking about that. You know, a lot of times people can't afford those, so they still have those older recliners. And they are more prone to get hurt. All right, so make sure you watch your peoples in those chairs, okay? All righty. Now, they say televisions and bookshelves. We're talking about the home hazards that we are not really paying attention to. And televisions and bookshelves come up on here, and they're saying that, okay, so we're talking about the elderly today. Okay, they're saying about 3,200 older adults end up in emergency rooms after a home appliance, television, or a piece of furniture tips over on them or, you know, or falls on them. Okay, yes, they say please watch out for, you know, how these, the TVs are bolted down. Make sure that your bookshelves are bolted down, because a lot of times when older adults go to pull the books down, they tip over. Okay? So they say make sure that when you're mounting your TVs, you get, you know, somebody who's a semi-professional to a professional person. You know, don't get a, you know, somebody who's just starting to learn how to do this, just in case those TVs don't get mounted properly. And, you know, when I bought my last bookshelf, it came with a hook on the back of it toward the top, and it allowed you to put a screw or a nail in it so that it helps to get bolstered to the wall at the top. Okay? So it doesn't tip over, because bookshelves have been known to do that. All right? All right. And make sure, they say you mount it into the stud. Don't just put it into the drywall or into like the little sheetrock, because it can come loose also. Okay? All righty. Cans or containers. Okay, now they say falling cans and containers dislodged from shelves or cabinets send 45,000 people, older people, to the emergency room each year. Can you imagine that? Wow. Okay, and they say that younger people have been known to, you know, get hit by things that fall down out of the shelf as well. So not just cans or containers, but other things like books and other stuff that you have at the top of the closet. Yes. If you please be careful, but especially for your elder folk. All righty. Yeah, it happens. I've seen it happen. Exercise equipment. They say nearly 71,000 older adults go to the emergency room each year for injuries related to workout or exercise equipment. Okay. They say, make sure that you have on secure clothes. The clothes are not baggy clothes because those clothes have gotten caught in workout equipment, exercise equipment. Make sure the shoelaces are tied and they don't get all tangled up in the exercise equipment. Okay. They say that you should make sure that you don't get overexerted because fatigue has caused a lot of accidents as well. Well, if you're tired, you're not going to pay attention as much. So they're saying make sure you don't stay on your exercise equipment much longer than you should. Know when to say when. Okay? And they say take a break. Don't feel like you can't take a break. Okay? So make sure you take a break in between your exercising so that you don't become, overexerted and now you're not paying attention because you're too tired. Okay? All right. Cutlery. They say about 35,000 older adults each year suffer cuts from knives and other kitchen utensils that require emergency room treatment. Okay? And they say that younger people are not running up such a far second. Yes. They say, please be careful while you're chopping or dicing vegetables and fruit and things like that. They don't advise you to use electric food choppers too much unless they really come in. Sometimes they have, extra little safe, safety features, okay? Because a lot of times that's what's happening. They say if you're going to buy an electric chopper, try to buy maybe one that's manual because now you have to pay a little more attention because a lot of times, again, people are not paying attention and things are not in the proper place and you're pressing buttons and things are going and all kind of accidents are happening. Okay. So those are the things they say we need to really watch out for in the home. So I'll go over it again. Reclining chairs. Yeah, we don't think of recliners as like a home hazard, right? Yeah, but again, they're saying they're looking at emergency room visits. Okay. Televisions and bookshelves. Make sure they're mounted properly. Yes, please do not just put the bookshelves up and not mount them or put too many books or other items in the bookshelves that will cause it to tip over, especially when you go to reach for something, okay? Cans or containers or things on shelves. Make sure that everything is situated neatly. And if you need help, don't hesitate to ask. Don't hesitate to ask. Okay. Exercise equipment. Make sure all your clothes are, snug and not loose. Watch out for those, those things? Shoelaces. Okay. And make sure that you don't overexert yourself so you're not tired and you're paying attention. And take a break. Don't hesitate to take a break. Okay, and lastly, they're mentioning the cutlery. Make sure your knives are not, sometimes people put stick knives in a rack and it's pointed up. I'm like, yo, really? You know, so make sure you even keep those things in its proper place where people, you know, don't mistakenly get hurt. And make sure when you're using choppers that, you know, if you're not, you know, too sharp, if you will, don't hesitate to get a manual, you know, chopper. You don't have to necessarily go for the electric ones. Those tend to be a little more dangerous for people who are not paying that much attention or who are a little forgetful. Don't hesitate, okay? And it was something I thought of on my own, and I was looking at television, the bookshelves, cancer containers. I forgot. It was something that I thought of. See, that's what happens when Pastor Steph doesn't write things down. You know what I was thinking about? Carpets. You know how many times I've tripped over like a little rug? Man! And, you know, they always tell me, pick up your feet. You always hear my slippers. Yeah. It sounds like I'm rambling, but I'm serious. Sometimes if I'm not paying attention or if I'm a little tired and I'm dragging around and I'll come across a piece of carpet, you'll fall. Yes. So you know what? You can get those things that make the carpet stick to the floor that the carpet doesn't slide as easily. Yes. So listen, let's help one another out. 347-285-7777. So throughout this broadcast today, we're going to talk about the things in the home that are safety hazards. You know, you can make a mistake and, you know, get hurt without thinking. Come on, let's help one another out. Are you already thinking of some things? Come on, 347-285-7777. How many times have you fallen over something or not paid attention to something? So, you know what? Let's help one another out today, okay? All righty. So what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Man, I got some stuff today. But I want to start here. So we're always talking about these career criminals, right? Always talking about these career criminals and how they just continue to get away with what they do because these negligent judges are a mess, okay? All righty. Well, check this out. They have this Bronx, what they call this Bronx gangbanger, who was cut loose by a judge only to murder another innocent individual. So this Steven Mendez, who's 17, has been accused of shooting 21-year-old Mr. Coma in the head during a botched gang hit in Fordham Heights last year. Well, he was set free this week as all the charges were dismissed and nobody held him accountable for anything. But here's what we're talking about here. So he's had this at 17. He's a career criminal, okay? And they're saying that prior to that, he's had at least three previous run-ins with the law. They say including a 2019 case where he allegedly pulled a loaded gun on his own mother, y'all. Yes, and I'm saying y'all. Yes, he allegedly got angry after his mother refused to give him money. He slapped her with an open hand and then pointed a .357 at her. All right? He pled guilty after he was charged in a role as an accomplice in a violent 2020 robbery in the Bronx that left the victim with a gunshot wound to the leg, and he faced charges of first-degree assault, first-degree robbery, and felony gun possession charges. Well, he was 16 at the time and was prosecuted as a youthful offender, and in that case, he was placed on temporary non-secure facility. That's where they put him. Okay. Then in 21, they gave him 5 years of probation. And then they fought that because, he was a youthful offender. Okay. Well, it didn't stop there. Because in October 24th of last year, he was a part of a revenge murder. Well, one of his gang members were beat down, and they went out to retaliate and ended up shooting the wrong individual. Mistaken identity, and he was the trigger man, all right? And the 21-year-old was shot in the head. Two others were arrested, but again, he was the trigger man. And now they let him walk. Yes. What kind of sick judges are these? You let him walk. Now, again, you look at his record, and you see he's been in trouble over and over and over again, and you let him walk. Now, this mother is beside herself because it was done on, virtual. It was done virtually, and she's watching the court case, and she says she couldn't help but jump up out her chair. She could not help but jump up out her chair after they told her that they were going after the maximum sentence. But then the judge let him go. And they say they don't know why. The judge just let him go. There was not any indication of what, you know, of why this judge came to this decision. But nobody's responding either. So do you really think that we could be paying off some people? Well, you know what? I'm believing a Pastor Charlene move. Who did you know? Who do you know in the court system that has allowed you after? Listen, if you could slap your own mother because she won't give you money and pull out a 357 on her, I'm putting you away for anything else subsequent to that. I don't care whether you're 2 years old. You going away. Because if you don't have enough respect for your mama, and that's what you do to your mother, I don't care what comes around. You ain't going to be all that calm about anything else. And he's been charged, and he's been found guilty, and he pled guilty with the other charges. So how in the world do you let him walk? You know what? They need to start arresting these judges. Somebody needs to hold these people accountable because this stuff does not make any sense. It's not making any sense to me. It's not making any sense. He was the trigger man shooting the mistakenly. This was a wrongful death. Y'all so busy trying to get the person who beat up your gang member that you killed the wrong person. 21-year-old college student is who they killed, and now you let him walk free. How do you talk to a parent after that? I don't know. They need to start locking up the judges and holding them accountable because, you know, these people sitting on these benches, and we've seen a lot of that lately. We've come across a lot of stories where these judges are just being real passive and letting these people go. I don't understand. I don't understand at all. All right. Well, we're moving over to New Jersey, where another set of family members don't know how to be respectful, and they're causing all kinds of mayhem. So you got these two New Jersey brothers who've been charged with murder of their grandmother, who was shot as she was celebrating her birthday on the front porch. Okay? So you've got Jonathan and Josiah Ritchie, 21 and 19 years old. They're facing weapon charges, as well as other charges, because back in March of 21, they were involved in a shooting. So let's break this down, because this is really a nice, real short story. Open and shut case. So Miss Ramona Derrick was on her front porch releasing balloons to celebrate her birthday and the birthday of her late twin sister when she was shot. Now, here's what happened. The two brothers were out there in some melee, and they got to shooting, and Grandma got shot. Grandma was hit with a stray bullet. And Grandma got hit with the stray bullet when the shooting started, and she tried to shield the grandchildren from the gunfire. Okay, now these two were there, I guess supposedly helping celebrate Grandma's birthday, and they didn't live there, but they lived with their mother and stepfather. But like I said, they were there celebrating the birthday with Grandma, got into a shootout, and that's how Grandma got struck with the bullet. So now Grandma's, who's celebrating the death of her twin sister, now they burying Grandma too. Again, when your negligence finds its way home. You know, I don't know. You know, I tell you, all of these are stray bullets and gunfire and all kind of things. You know, what do you say to your family? What do you say to your family when you're the one who's responsible for, you know, killing Grandma? Indirectly, your melee is what killed Grandma. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, the criminals are getting younger and younger and younger. As little six-year-old Dominic was severely burned after a bully, a gasoline ball in his face. A child not too much older than him, 8 years old. So little Dominic was playing in his backyard in Bridgeport, Connecticut, when this little boy from next door, who has been known to bully him, beckoned for him to come, I guess, like closer to the gate. He then takes a tennis ball that he had doused with gasoline, took a lighter, set the ball on fire, and threw it at little Dominic's face. Now, we're talking about a 6 and an 8-year-old. So the little boy is 8 years old. And little Dominic, who's the victim, 6-year-old. 6. Okay? And the sister tells the story of how this kid has always continually just been bullying this little Dominic. Now, I don't know what's going on with Mama or what they've been doing, but they're saying that 2 months earlier, under Mom's supervision, the 8-year-old pushes Dominic down to the floor, and she was standing right there. Now, remember now, under her supervision, she actually watched this happen. And they say, and again, the mother does not want to admit that her kid did this thing with the fireball. Now, come on, y'all. You 8 years old, and you're so heinous that you pull gas. where did you get gasoline from at 8? Now, you know what? You got, like, they keep gasoline in cans for, like, what do you call those things? The little cars in the garage. Yeah, sometimes you have, like, the things that you have to, like, to cut the grass and stuff like that. You keep gas and, you know, anything. And so needless to say, nobody's keeping this stuff away from him where he can actually get access to it. Well, that's what he did. That's the sister said that that's what happened. And the little boy was running, little Dominic was running, and he's yelling, they set me on fire, he set me on fire, he set me on fire. Oh, my gosh. And he has all this, his whole face. Oh, my goodness, you should see the pictures of his little face. Oh, the swelling. Oh, my God, I can't. Oh, my God, I can't even believe it. Well, thank God he didn't die. But they've managed to raise $162,000 by Wednesday night. By last night, they had raised $162,000. So, you know, he can get all the care that he needs. And, like, I'm, like, near the tears here because, you know, innocent, these bullies, it's disgusting. It's so disgusting. You know, you really have to pay attention when your children complain about these people who are mistreating them. You really got to pay attention because who would have thought that it would get that bad? Okay? You know, who's paying attention to this kid and what he's learning? That he knew to put the gasoline on a tennis ball, then put the lighter to the tennis ball and throw it right at his face. The sister said he targeted his face. This is intentional. At eight? Oh, my gosh. And, you know, they've been doing a lot of readjusting the laws for child criminals. Yeah, they're no longer to sentence children to death, to, you know, or not to death, I'm sorry, for life. You know, because they're too young, they don't know what they're doing. But something, they cannot, you can't continue to just not pay attention to this stuff. You can't, because something is wrong here, y'all. Something is wrong. Something is wrong when you have an 8-year-old who's doing this kind of stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I got one more story. Now, we've covered this story, these kind of stories before. So now they're doing this thing with the transgender inmates where they're allowing male transgender inmates to go into the same dorm and things with female inmates because that's the way they identify. Well, Rikers Island is doing the same thing. Well, I don't know how long they're going to keep this up because what they're finding is they are coming across a lot of assaults, sexual assaults. So Rommel Blount, who goes by the name of Diamond Blount, was sentenced to 7 years plus 8 years of post-release supervision after pleading guilty to attempted rape of another inmate who was a female. So the other inmate was 33 years old. She went to the bathroom, and after she went to the bathroom, she showered, and Blount pinned her down by the neck and raped her. So I'm trying to figure out where's the attempted rape coming from. If y'all say he raped the woman, he raped the woman. But see, here's what happens when you now start cross-contaminating the dorms, because they're finding that this is becoming a a regular occurrence. And then, and it's not only going on here, they have several that have happened in Seattle, Washington, where they've put these transgender inmates, because that's what they want to be known as, in the same dorm with the females, and now the males are raping the females. No, why you can't, we talked about this before, why you can't find a dorm that you put all of them in? I don't understand. Why don't you put them in their own dorm? All the transgender people, go ahead and put them in there. And let them do what they want to do to one another. But you're putting these people who claim that they identify as women, and then when you get in there with women, you're not in there raping the women? No. I'm going to tell you something. I'd have me one good case. I'm having me one good case because, first of all, I didn't have no say at this. All right, so I committed my crime. I'm here doing my time, and I'm in here with other women. Then you open the door for transgender women, and now I have to worry about being raped and sexually assaulted? You must be crazy. I'm having me a nice little happy time with a lawsuit. And that's what they're going to find. That's what they're going to find happens. So they're saying in Seattle, they're buck wild out there. Now, my thing is, how long y'all going to leave this possibility open? To me, from the first time it happened, you needed to have shut it down. Shut it down. Well, why are we even thinking about this anymore? Oh, where's my crew? Where's my crew? Where's Pastor Charlene? She's the first one to hit the flow. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm mad, Pastor Charlene. I got a whole bunch of stories of people who are just crazy. How are you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm doing well. I'm doing okay. Thank you.
So we start off with this Bronx teen who starts off slapping his mama and pulling out a .357 on her. That somehow gets dismissed. He then has another altercation where he's a 16-year-old youthful offender after he assaults and robs someone else and shoots someone in the leg, and they dismiss that. And then he has another altercation with someone else, and now he's responsible for shooting a 21-year-old mistakenly, and now they let him go. What in the world is going on?
That's the same thing as you was telling the story. I was like, okay, this judge playing a part in this. And you know that's my thing always. And how did you get out? Who allowed you to get out? So sometimes, you know, they pay them judges off, you know, and it's to turn your head, you know, and they make sure that this one come in my courtroom. So it could be where that the judges plays a big part in it for him to be able to walk. And I'm sure, I know his mother's terrified, because if you pull the gun out on me this time, the next time you might just kill me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What judge knows that you pulled the gun, you openly, you slap your mother with an open hand and pull out a .357 on her because she wouldn't give you money? Go sell the gun. You'll have a whole lot of money. You ain't got to worry about mama giving you no money. You got money in your hand, literally in your hand. What judge would sit and let that go by? Now other judges have let other things go by, and you're adding on. You know what my thought was, Pastor Charlene? When you always talk about somebody paying you off, he's a gangbanger. How do you know that they haven't gotten to the judge?
That's right.
How do you know that they haven't gotten to the judge? You know?
That's a good thought. They get him to as well.
Yep. Because come on, Pastor Charlene. You were the trigger man here for shooting this 21-year-old mistakenly. This wasn't even somebody who, you know how they always say that the police don't care when we kill one another. You know, they don't care when black people kill black people or Hispanic people kill Hispanic people. They don't care nothing about us. Well, this wasn't the case. This was an innocent 21-year-old college student who you mistakenly took for someone who beat your gang member, your fellow gang member down, and now you're letting him walk? Oh, no. I think the gang then got to him, maybe to the family. You don't know. And now that's why you walk. I don't know, Pastor Charlotte. I'm with your conspiracy theory today.
I know that's right. But also too, see, he's been there before. So by him keep coming back, you know, the judges talk, people know, and like you say, but we paying you off, you make sure he walk.
Yep, I'm thinking that big time. Because this is just some chaotic nonsense. I mean, this is crazy right here. All righty? Okay, Pastor Sean, what else are we talking about this morning? We talking about the two brothers over in Jersey with all this stupid melee and shooting, gets grandma shot, releasing her little balloons on the porch.
Yeah, now that's... My heart goes out to the family. And then not only does she get shot, even in her ending, she's trying to shield her grandchildren.
Right.
And so, you
right.
know, their trauma, they're going to need some death and some help, you know. And how do you do? And we were just talking about that yesterday. Husband, that these bullets don't have no names on them.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
And they just shooting crazy, just crazy. Yep. Over here, where we live at, they've had two shootouts, just people just shooting in the street.
Wow.
They got
they don't
some
care
kind
about
of control.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't care nothing about you. When they're ready to shoot, they just start shooting. And to think you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life, that your melee got your grandmother killed. So you have to live with that for the rest of your life. All right. No, the story of all stories. Mm. What is going on with the 6 and the 8-year-old? Oh, Pastor Charlotte. He has the cutest little face. And you should see now they have his face all wrapped up. His lips and stuff are all swollen. Oh, my God. From an 8-year-old. From another child. You pour gasoline on the tennis ball. You light the tennis ball and you throw it directly in little Dominic's face. How could you be so hateful at 8 years old?
We talk about it all the time. People are born that way. They are taught. So he has been evidently taught by, and I'm going to say his mama, because you said the mama was standing there and she ain't do nothing. So since the mama is standing there. Hmm?
Yeah, not this particular time. Another incident where he pushed down little Dominic. The first time, pushed him down, mama was standing right there. So, yes.
Oh.
Not this time with the fireball, but the first time. Mm-hmm.
Well, he 8 years old. Mama was somewhere. He wasn't too far. She couldn't have been too far. So for him to be able to have that thought and to see how to soak, because you have to soak it for it to light, to stay lit. That long for you to throw it. So you already had your plan of what you was going to do, and where did you get the ball from? Because 8-year-old ain't got no job. And where did you get the gasoline? Like, well, you said that it could be in the house. Okay, but you watched this. You watched somebody do this for you to be able to have that. And then the 6-year-old, you know, this bullying, they really, really got to do something with this bullying. you know. And where was his mother, the six-year-old mother? You didn't have a conversation with the other mother on the first time that you allow my child to do it again? So are the family bullying the whole family? Somebody needed to step up.
Yeah, this is terrible. This is terrible. All right, we talked about this before, about this transgender being in the same dorm with regular gender people. And now this transgender woman is raping, you know, now you're accused of raping a woman. So what kind of transgender are you that you're using your thing after all? Well, I don't understand. I
exactly.
Just like that, Pastor Charlotte. You ain't all that transgender. So how do you know these people are not pretending to be transgender so they can get in these dorms?
That is exactly what I was going to say. I agree that they are, it's a setup for them to be able to go in to be able to do this. I agree when you said that they should have their own cells where that y'all do what y'all do and not affect anybody else. I think that on this behalf, yes, they all should get, because he didn't just do one. And then where's the officers? Where did this happen at, that you didn't see this? So, once again, was it a setup? Did everybody get paid off some kind of way? Because everything you pay off ain't just money, you know. So, kind of way. And how did you do this? How did you get a chance to do this? So it's not that you wanted to be a woman. So are you bisexual? Did you say that? You know, so it goes a little further than that. And then when you in there, everything goes. The lights is out.
Yep, you're right, Pastor Charlene. You're right. Right, this is madness. Oh, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll be back to keep up our conversation. Let's talk to Brother Al this morning. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. I got a nice little quote for y'all, and it says, people may forget what you say. People may even forget what you did, but people will never forget on how you made them feel. That's by Maya Angelou. Good morning, Pastor. How you doing? How you doing?
Well, good morning, Brother Al. Thank you so much for that that quote this morning. Oh,
yes,
thank
indeed.
You. Thank you. A new way of starting off the morning. All right. Well,
I'm becoming different ways. I'm becoming.
You know what? We'll take it. We'll take it. Brother Al, take that quote and put it with the Bronx teen who's at 17, you are a career criminal, and the judges are just turning their head. Do you believe that now we're paying off these judges, that you can let this young man go after all the heinousness he's done?
Oh, man, that's absolutely crazy. I mean, I don't understand how they even let him go like that, you know. I throw the book out. Maybe the judge scared. Maybe they threatened the judge as well. Maybe the judge got threatened. But I'm listening to the story, and that's not the first time I've heard stories like this. He's a career criminal. He's a career criminal. What got me was when he slapped his mama. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't hit mama.
You didn't hit mama?
Because they wouldn't have had to take him to court, because once he slapped me, it would have been ended right there. But that's insane.
Yeah. Slap mama with an open hand and pull out a .357 on her because she would not give him money. Right then and there, you need to find your way behind bars for a long time, but they let that slide. They let two other incidences slide, and now he's the trigger man, in a 21-year-old innocent college student, and you let that slide. I think, you know, like Pastor Shaw and I talked about, you're right, somebody's paying him off. Somebody's paying him off. He's walking like he don't see nothing. I don't know, Brother Al. Let's
right, and then you
don't.
Then you're gonna sit there and tell me. Then I'm sorry. You're gonna sit there and say, okay, it's building up to that. So it had to take for him to kill somebody for y'all to snatch him up. That's where it was leading to. He's a career criminal.
But even snatching my brother out, they just let him go. So even all the build up from slapping his mother still hasn't done anything because he's now walking the street.
Yeah.
How do you tell a mother that her child's killer is walking the street? So I don't know. I don't know. I want to talk about this 6 and 8 year old with you. You know, this 8 year old bully with the gasoline tennis ball, lights it and throws it in a little Dominic's face. 6 years old from an 8 year old bully, somebody intentionally doing this to you at 8 years old.
Oh, man, you know, that's another crazy criminal in the making. You know, when these little kids, you know, from working in the school system, my kids, these little kids are doing violent stuff. They got all type of excuses. Oh, he got an IEP. Oh, he got some issues going on at home. Clearly, he know what he was doing to light a fire, to put stuff on a tennis ball to light it. So he knew the stuff would ignite. He lit it, and he did it intentionally. You know, these consequences got to get stiffer. I know you're 8 years old, but you know what? We're going to fix that now because as you get older, you're going to start killing people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at the 17-year-old. So this just goes to show you that, you know, this stuff doesn't finish. When you start off like this, let me tell you something. That 17-year-old we just got finished talking about, he was doing stuff when he was 8, too. You ain't just walked up when you 15, 16 years old started doing stuff. You've been a menace all this time. So, yes, just a mess from early. All right, Brother Al, what do you think they need to do with these transgender inmates? Now you're in there raping the female inmates. What are we doing with these people? What are we doing with them?
It's so crazy because I spoke about this before. Because my brother, I told you, is a CEO, and he was telling me that. And they know what's going on. It's just they so caught up with this LBQ, LMNOP, whatever. They so caught up with it where they just disregard everything to try to make these people feel comfortable. They know what's going on. My brother told me at the prison, that's what they do. If you consider yourself a woman, they put you in with the women. If you consider yourself a man, they put you in with the male. But here's the crazy thing, Pastor Steph, how you know they know. My brother said when they bring them in there, they giving out condoms to the inmates. Why are you giving out condoms? Because they know what's going to happen, but they don't. Yeah, they give out condoms to the inmates. So if you're giving out condoms, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, but they don't care. You know that my brother is so fed up. My brother said he can't wait. He's busting his behind to try to retire. He said, do you see the stuff that goes on in there? He said, it's ridiculous. And it's not the COs. It's the people. They have to follow the rule. My brother's like, you see this. This person, some of them, like you said, they go into jail. They play like, hey, I'm a transgender. So they can get in there and be with the women. And like you said, they know they're giving out condoms. Why are you giving out condoms? Because you know what's going to happen.
Wow, this is crazy. Giving out the condoms, I tell you, what more are you gonna do? Lord, have mercy on us. Wow.
Right, and you know what's happening. You know what's happening when they put the female in the male prison. You know what's happening. If them guys ain't seen a woman in God knows how long. Oh, it's open house. They fighting over this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They don't care what you look like, no nothing. Yeah. Insane.
Wow.
Like, giving out cards. That's insane. Absolutely insane.
Wow.
I was disgusted with my brother. I was more disgusted than my brother was.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brother Al. We'll be back to continue our conversation.
Woo. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you so much. How are you today?
I am doing well, trying to stay warm. I'm trying to figure out which jacket to put on as I walk out the door on a daily basis.
Oh, my goodness. I know. It's just a nippy out here. Oh, my goodness. All right, Tamika, we're talking about this 17-year-old career criminal. What do you think is going on with this court system that you would allow someone like this to just walk?
I thought that, or I always believed that the justice system was supposed to, follow through on basic premises, you know, and one of them would be the Ten Commandments. So my assumption would be that the first time that you laid a hand on mama, you know, that should be, you know, automatic, you know, you serve time, you know, and the fact that they let him walk, you know, did some friends of him, some higher powered gang members, you know, threaten the judge, you know, what in the world did you, where's the payoff? Are you related to the judge? You know, we didn't think about that. We talked about the police officer that arrested their own child. You know, is this one of those things where, oh, that's family, so you don't touch it, so, you know, he doesn't have to serve time? How is it that you keep getting off with situations like that? Something, there's some type of connection. You don't just all of a sudden let a stranger walk when they're doing real deal situations. You had enough to open hand slap your mama, which, you know, our background, that's the one thing that's the sacred ground. You can do whatever you want. Children can pull each other's hair, call each other whatever you want, slap, fight, run, do whatever. But mama is sacred. You don't do anything with mama. And the fact that you did and you held up a gun at mom, I'm amazed. And then you still continued on. So you've been doing little things ever since you were a child, and you just felt like you were getting away. When you got old enough, you decided, I'm big enough to slap mama. You know, and now I'm unstoppable now. I'm grown because we have all said it one way or another. Even if living in mama's house, she said something and behind her back we said, well, I'm grown. We whispered it. You know, no, you get to the point where you slap mama, oh, then you know you full grown. You full blown grown now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. You know, we have you know, the little boy, the little six-year-old, you know, who's now in the burn unit from an eight-year-old, tossing gasoline on the tennis ball and throwing it to his face after he lit it. What is going on in your brain at 8 years old?
That, again, that's something, if you ask me, that started long, long time ago, whether there's jealousy between you and this little boy, you know, maybe you're not getting enough attention, you know, maybe, I don't know. But my thing is, you've been doing little things since you were a child, you know, if it's ripping something in the house, you know, torturing little animals outside, whether it's caterpillars, bugs, you started off with something, you know, and you've been, you know, prodding. And, I mean, who in their mind, you know, you automatically think, he's a little child. They, you know, they don't come up with stuff like that. But obviously they do. You know, we had years back with the boiling water challenge, you know. Where do these things come from? Who gives you these ideas? What are you watching on television? What are you exposing yourself to? I won't always say that it's in the household because it could be somebody that you're exposing your child to, which is why it's so important. Who, you know who your child is spending time with. Watch what they're watching on television. You know, who are they aligning themselves with? You know, what older person seems to want to spend time with your child? You know, those things are important because now, you know, you got a child even coming up phantoming, you know, using gasoline. Where did you get access to the gasoline? Who thinks about something like that to do something like that to somebody in their face? You know, in a place where you can't hide. That's the one thing that, you know, now we got masks, but still, your face. Oh, God, my heart goes out to, you know, the child, and it now has to go through, you know, what type of, you know, screening and types of surgery just to repair his face to some form of normalcy.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, what we doing with these transgender individuals going up into this prison system where they're now raping the fellow inmates? You ain't no transgender individual if you raping.
I'm not understanding, you know, when this whole ideal came about, we had a conversation on, you know, putting them places where they have their own facility. If you identify yourself
right.
as a male,
right.
you
right.
have a compartment, just like we have our regular prisons. You have male and female sections of the prison. Why not? If you identify yourself as one specific area, you go over there and over there. You know, we've got facilities now. You know, you're trying to figure out if you put this male in a female facility, how is it that if he's not attracted to women, how is it that somebody got pregnant? Trying to figure that out.
Right.
Now you got people getting raped.
Right.
And, you know, so my thing is, unfortunately, when you're in that lifestyle, you can switch on and switch off as you choose. As it's apparent. It's showing. You know, and it's just, it's a mess. It is a complete and utter mess. You keep opening the door for all of these different, whatever you identify yourself with, and it's causing calamity every single solitary day. We're seeing worse and worse and worse. And here's evidence of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know what we're going to do here because it's, like you said, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Tamika, we'll be back to continue our conversation. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Ooh. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Ah, good. All right, so I'm going to talk something a little different with you. I want to know, what's the sentence? I'm going to play what's the sentence game with you. So you got the 17-year-old who started off slapping the mama, pulling the gun out on the mama, who has grown to shooting and murdering a 21-year-old innocent man, mistaken identity. What are we sentencing him to at 17 years old?
Life.
Well, right. Life.
Yeah. Yep. There's no remorse that he had. You know, you just continue to commit crime after crime. So in order to prevent you from continuing to be a menace to society, just lock you up forever.
All right. We got the New Jersey brothers, 21 and 19 years old. Their gun melee ends up killing grandma. What's the sentence?
I would say the sentence, because a lot of times we do stuff and you don't realize how reckless your actions are until it hits home. I would say like 15, 20 years.
Okay. All right. Oh, you got this bullying issue. What are we doing with the 8-year-old?
Locking him up with his mother. Because if you could sit and talk about you refuse to admit that your child did this, that means you play a role in what your child does. So you and your child needs to be locked up somewhere for a minute, for a long while.
What's a minute?
Well, the mother should get longer than the kid. So the mother should get about, what, maybe 15 years? And
okay.
The kid, so he's about maybe in high school.
Okay. And last but not least, you're a transgender. You're put into the women's facility. You raped the woman. What is your charge? How long are you spending in jail?
Well, the charge is castration because that's what they go for anyway, right? When you're transgender, they go to chop it off. And then the sentence should be 30 years because this was a plot for you to be able to get in on that side. And I've been saying this for a while. I just read a few weeks ago how this happened, and I think it was, I don't remember if it was a junior high school or a high school, but they were allowing this boy who he would come to school wearing a skirt or something, whatever, and he goes in the girls' bathroom and sexually assaults one of the girls. So this is a plot, and for this LGBT community, this is one of the main reasons why it's very hard for y'all to be taken seriously. So stop looking at the heterosexuals and thinking that everyone is a homophobe, this is one of the main reasons why your lifestyle isn't taken seriously, because this is what's going on.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for playing What's the Sentence game.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Well, we got some time to have a conversation about our faith. You know, all of these situations here, you know, where someone was offended, you know, at one point or another. You got the woman who's offended, the mom who's offended at the, you know, from the judge, who you let my child's killer, murderer go. You have the family who's now offended with the two brothers who now have gotten grandma killed. You have the parents and the family who's offended at the 8-year-old, you know, because you let your child get away with this, and now we've graduated to him throwing a lit fireball up in my child's face. And you've got this whole unit that's offended now with the fact that y'all are letting these transgender people up in here, and we're not safe. So the whole world is offended at this point. So they're, you know, they're saying, you know, there's ways that we need to approach offense, you know, when people are offended. And one of the things they're saying is be cautious. They're saying feelings flare up, but be careful about letting them dictate the way you respond. So be careful about the way you respond. Brother Al, what do you say about that when you're offended? Be careful about the way you respond.
Yeah, I think you should be careful on what you say and how you say things. And sometimes out of anger, we are saying some craziness, you know. And so we definitely have to be, I think you should be careful on what you say. It's okay to be angry, but think about what you're going to say first before you blurt it out.
All righty, all righty. Pastor Charlene, what are we saying? Be careful about, you know, how you respond.
Absolutely, because sometimes when after you respond, you can't take it back, and you, in the anger, you know, we have a tendency to go beyond. And, you know, and the word tells us that we can be angry but sin not. So we do have to be very careful.
Okay, okay. Tamika, you know, they're saying be careful about the way you respond when someone offends you. You know, take a moment. Take a moment. Get yourself together.
Yeah, it's important to taste that thing before you serve it. You know, it's kind of like you preparing food. You got this meal that looks all pretty, and you think you did well, and it has no taste. It's bland or it's too salty. You know, you never know, not only that, how what you say or what you do can be perceived by somebody else. You know, and a lot of times I said such and such, but I meant such and such. No. You know, it was received a certain way because of, it could have been something about your body language, could have been your tone. All of that is part of what plays when other people hear it. Not only that, we live in a world where people are not listening anymore. You say something and they're ready to shoot you. They're not punching. They're not, you know, ready to fight. They're just ready to end your life. And it's just that simple. You know, people also have trigger responses that may not necessarily have to do with what you said at all. It's just, you know, you triggered something that had to do with something that happened in my past, and now I want to end your life. So we have to be really, really careful.
Okay, okay. Shantice, you know, just be careful. Be careful that, you know, of what you say, of how you respond.
Well, I've learned that sometimes the best response is no response. So a lot of times I end up looking crazy, but I don't care. I start immediately talking to God, and that helps to just put everything in perspective for me mentally and emotionally. So even if he does require me to respond, it's very limited, or I end up doing it exactly the way he needs me to. But the key is to get out of tune with yourself and get more in tune with God so that it's not you responding, but it's how God needs you to respond or not respond.
Okay, okay.
the next thing they say is be confident. Know that you know what you're about to do or what you're saying is the right thing. Pastor Charlene.
Yes, you have to say it to yourself first, and think before you speak, and before you react. A lot of times we get in the moment and we don't do that, and then that's when we come back later and we say, well, we should have handled that a little different. So if you're able to know that you know with your part, you know, you can't say what another person is going, how they're going to react. But no one yet in, is it worth it? Is it worth to say that? Is it worth to do that? So, you know, the outcome can be. So that's how you have to be able just to say it to yourself first.
Okay, okay. Tamika, we're talking about being confident. So, you know, because you can't change it. So you better make sure that it's the right thing to say or do.
Yeah, and you know, being confident doesn't necessarily mean being cocky, you know, or conceited. It just means that, you know, you have the upward attitude to at least have put your best foot forward. Okay, fine, something is going on around you. You know, you don't have to always be a part of every single solitary thing. These people are arguing around you, and you just want to, you know, get in there. No, you, if you're trying to get in, you should be a diffuser, you know, to try and solve the problem. If you can't solve it, then at least keep the you know, animosity from going around and be confident that you can do it, you know, that you have the attitude or disposition to change the atmosphere where you are.
Okay, okay. Chantice, we're talking about when you're offended, you know, being confident about the way you respond. You know, you can't be wishy-washy. You got to make sure you know what you're doing, know what you're saying.
I think that goes with staying confident in the lifestyle that you're choosing to live. Because now that I feel like there's a different level of what God expects from me, that has me confident in the way I know I cannot, you know, respond to it. So it's, okay, so what lifestyle am I living? When I was still living my life according to how I wanted to live and from what the streets was telling me, that I was confident in acting a fool. Now I'm confident in being a lot more refined and being a lot calmer and just understanding, again, what is expected of me from him, not from everybody else.
Okay, okay. Brother Al, be confident. That you know.
Yeah, you know, it's that's throughout the whole life with anything. When you know something and you know what you're talking about, you get more confidence in speaking. Even like if you're speaking God's word or you quote one of God's verses, you know it. And you know, okay, this is exactly what it says. So you feel comfortable talking about it. And I think that's where a lot of people mess up. They hear other people say this. They don't do some research for themselves. And they just jump and say, okay, yeah, you this is that. And then you like 100% wrong. So be confident. Know what you're talking about before, you know, like Pastor Charlotte said, calm yourself down. You know what's going on. Say it to yourself first. Get that confidence and then speak your mind.
Okay, okay. All right, here's the other thing that I actually thought was really a good point. You know, when you're offended and you respond, make sure you're clear about what you're saying. Why is that important when you're offended to be clear, Tamika?
Because it can be perceived the wrong way. Recognize that, especially in a situation like that, you know, you have another person who's already offended and you're trying to say something. They're not necessarily looking at your perspective. They're always going to look at it from their perspective. So you have to be clear. Listen, you know, I understand such and such and such. Can we get past this moment? Can you and I communicate? And make it clear, you know, because they're not seeing it that you're trying to do, you'll put your best foot forward. They're still in their feelings, and so they're reacting emotionally. And a lot of times we have to take ourselves out of the situation sometimes to clearly see. So if it was two other people and you had nothing to do with it, how would you look at it? How would you perceive? How would you like to be it? How would you like to see it change? That way we can, respond accordingly.
All right. Chantis, when you're offended, you know, you got to be clear about what you're saying. Why is that important? If I'm offended, well, I have to be clear about what I say. They weren't necessarily clear about what they said, or they were clear about what they did. Why do you have to make sure you're clear?
Because people like to act slow. They like to act like they don't realize what they say or do that gets you all riled up or offended. So I know I have always been big on, oh, you're going to understand why I'm moving the way I'm moving with you now. Ain't going to be no, oh, Shanti just woke up and because it's Thursday, she don't mess with me no more. No. You're going to understand why I feel the way I feel. So you can act dumb if you want, but a lot of times that's people's out to be able to do what they do and then not have to take accountability for it. So, no. You have to make sure, even though you're the one who is being offended, that you take the time to be very thorough, because now it's like you're giving them enough rope to hang themselves. So now that you understand, now the ball is back in your court for you to either fix this or continue to act slow. But now whatever happens, it's on you. It's not on me anymore.
Okay. Brother Al. You know, why do you need to be clear when you're offended? What's the point in that?
Because when you're offended, you get angry. I don't know, not too many people who get offended and don't be angry. So once you get offended, now you're angry and you're ready to fight or curse somebody out or do some things that shouldn't be done. So you need to be clear on what this person said, how that person meant it, and it will cause you not to be in a lot of drama. So you definitely need to hear. And sometimes we get angry, we don't hear nothing. You know, believe me, I deal with some parents at the school, and that's what's happening. So you definitely need to hear that person first, understand, and then, you know, state your point from there.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, being clear is what we're talking about. Why after you've been offended?
So that the person will understand why you are defending. If we don't explain, you know, because you might think that it's not that way, but this is my feeling, and you have to respect my feeling. So you have to be able to make it clear, and you have an understanding, this is what you did, or this is what I said, and this is why it happened this way, you know, and then be able to meet in the middle of now your turn. You know, and where that they'll be able to express it, because a lot of times, you know, in the heat of the moment, it becomes misunderstood, you know, and you have to, sometimes you have to come back and be able to say, well, you know what, I was wrong, but this is how I was feeling. So you have to be able to do that as well, a clear understanding, so there'll be no confusion of not understanding.
Okay. Oh, Shanti's. They say when you are offended, you need to be concise. You need to keep it short to the point. Is that true?
Absolutely, because, again, people like to act slow. So if you're showing me that you're already, you know, struggling with your mental capacity, am I going to speak to you in a way that isn't thorough? No, I have to pinpoint this again, because you're not going to now try to be able to point the finger back at me and say I played any role in this. Oh, well, I didn't know because you didn't say. No, you have to get very detailed. And in order to be concise, there's a level of mental control you have to have. Again, because like it was said, if you're all angry and you're outraged, you know, you're thinking about his wrath and vengeance like I used to do, there's very little room to strategize to be able to even have the patience to be concise. Concise, that takes patience. Even if all you're saying is like four words, to be able to go to the person who is making you feel some type of way and say, this is why I feel some type of way, that takes a lot of structure and patience. So you have a responsibility, and I know it's annoying to think that a lot of the times. Like, I know for me, once somebody makes me, it's like, okay, it's easier for me to just say bye and never say anything to you again. But again, especially when you're a child of God, you have the responsibility to let people know. Even if God says you can walk away, but you still have to let them know what it is that they have done, so that when they do it again, they now have the explanation you've given them. Because everybody ain't going to do that for them. But God may be holding you responsible to do that. So it's very important that you're concise.
All right, all right. Brother Al, they say keep it short, straight, and to the point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You don't want to go on a long journey and say, look, I'm going to tell you how I feel, and then we're going to move from there. Because some people that talk about some stuff, they start dragging and dragging and dragging, you know. Just get straight to the point with it. Look, this is what happened. You said this, and this is how I feel, and this is what it is. And just get straight to the point.
Okay, okay. Pastor Charlene, straight to the point.
You know I got to tell the whole story. But
no,
yes, you should go. Yes, you should go, you know, just make it short, you know, hit the high points of the feeling and be able to do it when everybody is calm. Because if you're in the heat of the moment at that time, sometimes you got to take a minute to walk away and come back. Because you're really not listening. I'm not listening to you. You're not listening to me. And now you gave me time for you to think. So you can just make it. Listen, we had this. This happened yesterday. So today, let's come together. And I want to explain how I felt, or even a little later on that day, whatever. But at that moment, you know, everybody's trying to scream over each other. So you want to be able to make it short in the mix of that moment.
All righty. And Tamiko. What comes from keeping it concise?
Keeping it concise keeps you from going into a whole lot of unnecessary jargon. You get into a conversation and you just go on and on about the thing. Just keep it short, simple. This is what happened. This is how we resolve it. You know, and it keeps that moment brief, so that it doesn't agonize for hours.
Okay, okay. All right, we got one more point that we'd like to make. Be commanding. You know, they say while speaking, you know, to make things peaceful, don't allow yourself to be walked all over or dismissed. So you still got to kind of get that accomplished as well. Brother Al.
I'm sorry, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I kind of missed the question a little bit. I'll talk to this kid. You should talk with confidence.
Be commanding. So although, you know, after you're offended, you're trying to be, you know, peaceful, but you still can't let people walk all over you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You definitely got to stay on your ground. You know, you definitely got to stay on your ground. And be commanded, like, yo, listen, this is what happened, this is what's going to happen, you know, so definitely be firm and stand your ground. And that comes with speaking with confidence about, you know, what the situation was.
Okay, okay. Pastor Charlene, you know, be commanded. I'm not going to let you walk all over me just, you know, just because I'm trying to seek the peace here.
Absolutely. You have to stand on your ground of this is how I am, this is what I believe, so therefore I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, and I want you to respect my feelings as I respect yours. So, yes, standing on your ground to let them know that I'm not accepting that. Get to the point, and I'll tell you mine.
Okay, okay. Tamiko. You know, standing your ground and being commanding, what is that going to accomplish after you've offended? You've been offended, rather.
it establishes a premise, whereas I'm going to respect you, you're going to respect me. I'm not a doormat, and neither are you. And so we should be able to coexist. We don't necessarily have to be the best of friends. However, what you will not do is disrespect me as a person and vice versa.
Okay, okay. Shantice, you have the final word today. You know, we're talking about being commanding, you know, after you've been offended. How important is that?
Well, there's peace in me being able to set the terms. Because, again, if God allows the ball to be in my court, then I get to say what it is. So I have to still let it be known that there is humility, again, with being concise and all of that. However, if you think that you're just going to continue to do what you do, then, no, it ain't going to work like that. So it is very important that you teach people how to treat you. And you let the terms be known at that point. So whether it's walking away from each other or this is how, you know, our friendship or whatever it's going to be, but it is very important to let it be known what you will and will not tolerate.
Okay, okay. Well, hopefully we've learned something about how to respond and the importance, you know, and the important components of how we respond once we've been offended from our Due Time crew, who've done an excellent job relaying a wonderful godly message. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You all do the same. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Well, we're about to enter into a segment we haven't touched for a moment, and that's our Pray for Them. Shantice, what you got for us today?
Okay, so there's been a lot of buzz around Black China, for those who do not know her, she is a, I don't want to call her model, but she's a model, public figure. She was married to Rob Kardashian, the brother of Kim Kardashian, Khloe, Kourtney Kardashian. Now there's this huge thing. They're in trial right now, going back and forth to court because Blac Chyna is trying to sue the Kardashian / Jenner family for economic and general and emotional damages because, according to her, that family conspired to get her reality show on the E! Channel canceled. And from what I heard, I never watched the show, but from what I heard, that show was a show. Like, it was a lot between her toxic relationship with her mother, and now there's, you know, their business put out there as far as how Blac Chyna has been verbally and physically abusive to Rob Kardashian. She also dated Tyga, who is a well-known rapper, a few years ago. They share a 9-year-old son, I believe, and he has stab wounds and all that from her, and she is suing $109,635,021 in economic damage and $36 million in general damages for emotional distress. So this, according to her, this is what they owe her for her show being canceled. And my mind immediately goes to, if your reality show, and again, from what I heard, your reality is jacked up, if you losing that show for whatever the reason, whether the network chose to drop you or whether the Kardashians had that much pull and they, you know, convinced the powers that be to have your show canceled, if that now messes you up like this, that should be multiple red flags that you have to get your life in order. And she has undergone, you know, last week I think it was, we went over the plastic surgery. She's undergoing multiple surgeries and everything. And when you, like, pay attention to this, they don't understand how they start to put their psyche out there for you to now analyze and for you to become aware of. And obviously this is a person who is not that happy with herself. And one of the main things that stick out to me is you have two children. She has a 9-year-old son. She has a 5-year-old daughter who is now sitting here witnessing that. And according to her, she's taking this family back and forth to court because she wants to show her kids that this is the way you handle someone bullying. This is the way you handle someone trying to destroy your life despite there being allegations from two different men and from the family that they have witnessed you pulling out a gun on these men and you stabbing them and you, you know, according to her, she pulled the gun out. It wasn't loaded. She did it as a joke and all this. It's not a joke because now you're trying to sue them for emotional distress, so the joke was on you. But it's really sad to see someone's life spiral out of control like this, and the only way they can try to gain control is by now taking someone else down. And again, we are not in the mix 100%, so we don't know who did what. At the same time, you are the one who is helping to keep this going in the public. So you have to sometimes take a minute to step back, and especially because you are a mother. Forget the camera, forget the light. You know, you're trying to get your reality. How about fixing your reality first? So I think lifting her up in prayer is very important because her reality is not her own anymore. She has two little people that she has to now start being very concerned about their reality more than hers. And whatever, and also taking ownership for whatever she has done to these men to contribute to whatever they're going through and vice versa. But again, making sure that we're in the clear of, okay, if you did do something to me, even if what she did to these men was a reaction, was that the proper way to react? So just lifting her up in prayer, lifting her kids up in prayer, Dream and King. Those are the names, I believe. Her son's name is King. Her daughter's name is Dream. I'm lifting them up in prayer and just asking that God takes complete control over her mind and helps to dictate her actions, because this is not the way to go about doing things, especially if you're trying to stay in the public eye.
Okay. You know, well, thank you, Shanti. You've at least answered, you know, what for me, you know, what the big, you know, commotion is about, because, excuse me, that's all you've been seeing, you know, in social media, in the news, and I don't know much about her, but, you know, I'm always seeing this whole thing with the Kardashians, and I actually didn't even realize that she had married the son. I didn't even realize that that was the case. I didn't know what the whole beef was between her and the Kardashians. But now that I realize that she's an in-law, you know, and all of these allegations and all the things that you've just, you know, brought to the table, I would have never thought she was married into that family. That was the last thing that I even realized was the situation. So thank you for bringing that to our attention, and another individual or set of individuals that we can pray for. And let us go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. We thank you for just waking us up today, getting us into the swing of things and being in our right frame of mind, Heavenly Father, so that we can pray for them, lift someone up, lift a family up before you, God, that needs our attention. And even though we don't know this Kardashian family personally, even if we don't know Blac Chyna and her children personally, dear Heavenly Father, you know, your word says that we need to keep all of this and these people lifted before you, God. So we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we've got some level of understanding as to what is going on in Blac Chyna's life, God. And, you know, we just got finished speaking about, you know, what to do when we're offended. And, Lord, you know, sometimes we don't understand when you have put an end to something. And we don't even consider it.
But Lord, for whatever the reason is that you have put a halt on the part of her life that she has come to truly rely on for attention, for her income, for her children's lives, to expose, display, whatever, you know, the ultimate purpose was, God. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to help her put her thoughts, her understanding, her way of thinking in its right perspective, God. She has two young children, God, and they need her. They need her at her full capacity. They need her at her full mental state. They need her, God. They need her full attention so that she can lead them down a path of righteousness. They're going to have so many things that they have to deal with, God, dream and king, on its own, just from being in this world. And we're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to touch upon her mind, touch upon her heart, her ears, her eyes, her spirit, God, that she would truly know what it means to put her children first before all of the chaos and the melee, but to ultimately lift you before her first, God, that she would understand that she needs a Savior. Her children need a Savior. She needs to give her life to you, God, that there would be nothing that would come before that, that while she's concerning herself with all these millions of dollars to be replaced, that if she had that and more, it would mean nothing. Mean nothing if she does not put you as Lord and Savior in the front of her life. That money can't solve our problems. Money can't fix issues. Money can't make us comfortable if the rest of our lives is not in its right perspective, God. So, Lord, we're just asking you to just reconcile all of this right in front of her, however she needs to see it, however it needs to be presented to her, God. We ask you to just make her aware that she would learn to put all of it down. God, somebody she knows you. Somebody she knows the power that you have. Somebody she knows lives and allows you to guide their life. And Lord, let them be an example to her. We ask you, God, that they would make that special presentation who you are to them so that she can even consider it, dear Heavenly Father. And we're asking you, God, to just touch the children's lives, that they would not be completely lost in all of her good intentions. You know, as much as she wants to show them the way to go, until she shows her children you, they are not going to know the ultimate way of handling any or resolving any situation, God. We ask that you touch the father's family, dear Heavenly Father, both fathers, God. She has offered chaos and melee into their lives, as she's offered them physical and mental harm, dear Heavenly Father. The distress that they feel would not fall in the laps of the children, God, but that they could come together as parents who know you, who love you, and who serve you, so that you can give them the life that you would want them to have, God. That regardless of what's going on in their individual lives as parents, that you would show them how important the children are and how the adjustment needs to be made so that the children can be offered a true life in you. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this coming up, because how do we know how this is affecting even our listeners right now, God? But Lord, we ask that everything would be displayed in front of each and every one of us, and that we could see ourselves in this situation and see the need to straighten it out. see the need to make it right in you, God. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for giving us a clear head so we can now make the difference in someone else's life, that we're not here for ourselves, that we're here so that we can serve you through helping to bring and draw others to you. So, Lord, as they may never hear this prayer, we pray that they're still affected by this prayer, that we called out their name today, and that in doing so, others would continue to pray for them, God, and that their lives would be changed, and that they would understand that their life is only being changed by your hand. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hello.
Thank you so much, Shantees.
You're welcome. And
thank
I'm sorry,
so much for...
they didn't
yes.
officially get married. They were engaged, and then they broke up. So I'm
sorry. Okay.
I have to make sure I connected that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the clarity. And thank you for bringing them to our attention.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I just think about every single story that was told here today. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart that a 17-year-old would be so disturbed that he would cause chaos and confusion in other lives, that for whatever reason is, he's been allowed to continue to wreak havoc and not be, you know, locked up for whatever the reason is, how these other judges have allowed him to walk the streets, and now even after committing murder, he's been allowed to walk the streets. But we need to keep him lifted in prayer because he needs a savior, because there's only one direction he can go. And, you know, he's a gangbanger, as they have declared him to be. We know he's a murderer. We know he has wreaked havoc in many lives. And, you know, as the streets would say, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Well, that's what the Bible says, not just the streets say, but the point I'm making is, you know, the first thing we think is, you know, that he'll have his day. And that's what we need to pray, because he's only 17 years old. His life hasn't even begun. And to think that this is the way you're choosing to live your life, that someone is thinking that this is the way to live. We don't know why, you know, he's on this path. You know, you look at the brothers, that one brother could not advise the other brother that this is not the life that we need to live. And together, as much as they may have loved grandma, you know, now they are responsible for grandma no longer being here, and how many people are going to blame them, and how they're going to be seen, you know, in this family. And now they're going to jail for a long time with no family support, probably, because everybody's going to think about how they took grandma away. So what are they facing? What are they, 21 and 19 again, young people. And the 8-year-old, oh my, the 8-year-old who is already living a heinous and hateful life, along with the mother who cannot even do her responsibility well, you know, to look at her child and correct him. To point him in the right direction. You know, anytime we look at our children and we cover for them and we make excuses for them and we dismiss the things that they do, we don't love our children. We don't love our children. You know, the Bible says if we put anybody, anything before God, that we are none of his. And look at how God is just removing him from, you know, his presence. Because of what she's done,
She's responsible for the way her son is acting. She's responsible for, you know, the things that he's doing because she's not monitoring. Now, if you already know your child, you know, is doing things that are dangerous, that are reckless, even leaving gasoline around, even for you to think that that's fine, shows that you're just not covering enough territory to save him, to help him, or to love him properly. You know, certain children need love in a different way. And we've got to learn how to love our children in a different way. You know, and last but not least, you know, the community that has become so prevalent. You know, and everybody feels like these people have rights and all, look at what their rights are doing to innocent people. How it's infringing upon someone else's freedom, how it's infringing upon someone else's safety, someone else's lifestyle. You know, it changes someone's complete world when you're violated in that manner. You know, when we don't know what else this person has endured. But here we are. Now you have to worry about being sexually assaulted when you thought that you were safe. All these people, you know, and even that individual was relatively young, you know, a 33-year-old victim, and probably, you know, the perpetrator wasn't much, you know, different in age. But all these people are throwing their lives away. But all of these people are in our community. They're affecting us one way or another. So it behooves us to put them in our prayer, include them in our prayer. When we're on our knees, you know, it's not out of sight, out of mind. It's not, well, they're not in my family. They don't live across the street from me. They're not affecting my home. They're not affecting my children. Yes, they are. Indirectly, they are. And we need to make sure we keep that in mind, that everything affects us one way or another. When the rules change, when the laws change, it affects us. You know, what happens when your own child has to end up going to jail? You didn't think it mattered, but now it matters. When you didn't think that your child would end up in the same prison cell, the dorm, with these people. You know, when your children are now toting guns and committing crimes, and, you know, whether they're young or, you know, a child at 8 years old, or whether they're 17 or whether they're 25. When your child is affected by people who they hang out with, you know, you are bringing them up one way, and then they somehow or another seem to be drawn and attracted to everything that is representing something different than what you've just broken your back to make sure they don't have a part, you know, and they're not a part of. The work never stops as a parent. And the work never stops as a Christian. It's our job to continue to lift all these individuals before the Lord. Let's see to it that we do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time as always, helping us to understand how we need to behave when we're offended. Thank you for hanging out with us today and participating in the conversation. Oh, please do not miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us.
until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday. God spare our life. I love you.